your view from the top of the Empire State Building is so much more enjoyable than the views from down at street level. So as a Christian, what is it we have to do to change our perspective, to become more joyful? Find out today on our podcast. Hey everyone, it's Karen G from the Tower Hill Communications team. Thanks for tuning in to our weekly podcast. You can listen here each week to catch up on our latest sermon, and we hope what you hear inspires you to want more so you'll continue on your own personal faith journey. Today's message is the first in a two-part sermon series about how to find more joy in your faith. So let's kick it off to Pastor Jason Tucker right now.
Good morning, Tower Hill Church Online. I'm Pastor Jason. It's so great to be with you here today. Well, today we're starting this message series. It's just a two-parter before we head into November on joy and how you could live a more joyful faith. Because I don't know about you, but joy is something I am always in more need of. In fact, I don't remember ever asking somebody, oh, hey, who could use some more joy, and for people not to raise their hands if they're being honest. Why is joy so fleeting when it says that we people of faith, we should be overflowing with joy because of our faith? So what happens? Why do we get lost and we forget to live lives of joy? That's what we're talking about for the next couple of weeks. I want to ask, as you look at this sidewalk painting, doesn't that look so cool? It's one of these 3D paintings that people do. You ever see artists do these paintings on the sidewalk? Maybe you've seen them in New York City or other places, but this one, I'm not even sure where this one is, but they did a whole street, and it looks like the entire neighborhood or the entire street is hovering over this vast cavern that goes into water. It's incredible. It looks so real. Then this one, I like this one too, where it looks like a tiger is walking out of a TV or a window or something, and this person's pretending to ride the tiger. Or, and this is probably my favorite one, they're folks working out that looks like on the edge of an abyss. I mean, that looks so crazy and it looks so real. And it would be easy, I would think, to get fooled out by these paintings as long as you're standing in the right angle. See, from a different angle, of course, when you look at the painting, it just looks flat. It looks like nothing. It all depends on where you're standing. It depends on your perspective. Recently, Dead Poets Society was on, one of my all-time favorite movies, 1989, starring Robin Williams as Professor Keating. And one of the exercises he does with his students is he stands up on the desk and he asks them all to stand up on their desks, or actually on his desk, in order to get a different point of view, a different perspective. Listen, perspective is powerful. Perspective is the difference between a flat drawing and something that looks so real you're afraid to step off the edge. Perspective dramatically changes what you see. And I'll say this about perspective then. The amount of joy we experience is directly related to our perspective. And I don't think it's as easy as like, well, you know, just look at the sunny side of life, right? Just, you know, buck up. The sun will come out tomorrow. I don't think it's just that. I don't think it's just sort of willing ourselves into a different perspective. I think it's being transformed so that our perspective matches God's perspective. I mean, think about how powerful perspective is that depending on your point of view, your day can go a couple of different ways. I mean, think about how different the quality of your life would be if you lived by these sort of mottos that we hear all the time. The first is, every day above ground is a good day. Ever hear people say that? I've heard people say that a lot. I've had a few people in my life say things like that. How you doing today? Every day above ground is a good day. And sometimes I think to myself, I'm like, really? I don't know. I've had some pretty bad above ground days. Well, maybe this will help. This is something that I've heard too. Every day may not be good, but there's something good in every day. I don't know. That feels kind of true, right? Every day means something good in every day. But then I think about, I don't know, every day? Maybe I just get bummed out a little too easily. But I'm certainly not this bad. the person who says, well, we're just all food for worms anyway, so what's the point? Yeah. But you can see how these three different mottos, if you live by them, will give you a different perspective, will probably change your outlook and attitude in your everyday life. So here's the thing about Christians. This is what I always have to remind myself. Because Christians should be, the most joyful people on the planet. Why? Because we have been saved by grace through faith, that God has transformed our lives. We are living forever in the presence of God. We are members, citizens of His kingdom, heirs to eternity. I mean, this is incredible. It is the best news to ever happen to us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He saved us from certain death out of His great love for us. Christians should have more joy. It's like, oh my gosh, every day is a gift because I don't even deserve this day. And yet, oftentimes I find a lot of Christians, sadly, are kind of like Eeyore Christians. You're familiar with Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh? Of course you are. What was Eeyore like? It's like, you know, it's this beautiful sunny day. Hey, it's a great sunny day.
I suppose.
Right? I feel like there's so many Christians like this. Like, hey, how's everything going? You know, it's such a wonderful day. It's so glad that we have this day to serve God or to do this together, whatever. And it feels like they give an Eeyore response. No matter what's going on in their life, it's always a,
I suppose, things could be worse. I could be dead. You know, like,
it's this Eeyore response. Like, what is that? Why should Christians ever be like that? If we know God, if we've been redeemed by what Jesus did on the cross. So let's get to the question here then. What is the secret to a more joyful faith? Well, it's about perspective. I want to share with you in Paul's story, the Apostle Paul, how he managed to have perspective on things that I think helps us in our quest for maybe some more joy. Joy is not something that just happens necessarily automatically. It's something that is cultivated in the Christian life. It's something like when our hearts are stirred by God, joy comes out. Even, and sometimes in spite of, our circumstances. Paul wrote this letter to the Philippians. And Philippians is actually known as the book of joy because the word joy, or a derivative of the word joy, like rejoice, are used so many times. It's just joy, 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 rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. It's absolutely everywhere. But it's not just because Paul was going through a really good season of ministry. Hey, things are good. Making some money, doing some work for the Lord, right? Everything's going my way. Had a great meal. Went to this wedding and some dude brought out the extra wine at the end. It's not that. It's not because things are so rosy for Paul. In fact, and many of you know this, you know where Paul wrote the book of joy from. That's right. He wrote it from prison. In fact, he had been in prison for an estimated 2 years in Rome. Waiting for what? Waiting to be set free. Waiting to be let go. No. Waiting to be put to death. Put to death for what? Oh, for proclaiming Jesus. Listen, Paul didn't write the book of joy because things were going so great. He wrote the book of joy because God was so great in the midst of real suffering. Paul knew a thing or two about suffering, and that's why I like to look to his story here in Philippians to help me understand, okay, well, if Paul can do it, what does he know that I don't know? What can I learn from his example? This is what he says in chapter 1, beginning with verse 12 of Philippians. Now, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. What's that mean? It means everybody who isn't a Christian, who's around my orbit, they know that I am doing this because of Jesus Christ. And clearly, Paul thinks that has kingdom of God value. And because of my chains, that's an interesting phrase, not as a result of, but like because of, because these chains are on me, because of my situation, not in spite of, because of, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Wow, right? What a perspective to have. He sees that his actual suffering is producing something for the kingdom of God. And he's able to maintain this feeling of like, you know what? To live is Christ and to die is gain. However this life goes for me, it's all for him anyway. I trust that God's going to use my life or even the end of my life to fulfill his purposes. Either way, I'm with Jesus. I mean, what a perspective to have. Perspective dramatically changes what you see, doesn't it? Last weekend, I was flying. I was out in Arkansas. I was doing a church consultation out there, helping some churches with some things that we've done here at Tower Hill and helping them figure out how they could do some similar things in their church. And whenever you fly, it's sort of an object lesson in perspective. So flying in and out of Newark Airport, I'm sorry for anybody who has just a love for the Newark Airport, but it's kind of a mess, right? It's kind of chaotic. It's worn down. You know, there's some factories there. I think Anheuser-Busch is there and some other factories where you could see sort of like urban blight. You see some poverty, and it always just sort of breaks your heart. If you ever go off or near the airport, you definitely see like some buildings that are run down, some row homes that are in need of repair, and you wonder, why can't we do better than this? Why can't we help people more? You know, you see the graffiti all over the buildings and bridges, and it's not necessarily a beautiful thing. In fact, it just reminds you of the suffering and pain that people may be going through, whether it's financial hardship or otherwise. But then you get in the air. You get in the air, and then all of a sudden, what once looked kind of messy and maybe even a little sad or depressing or pulling on your heartstrings because you want to help people in their life, you get up in the air and it's like, well, wait a second. This is actually beautiful. Instead of chaos, I actually see order. I see neighborhoods lined out in a certain way. Everything, I don't see the ugliness, or I don't see the mess or the dirt or the grime. I just see kind of this beautiful picture as if I were seeing a painting. Now, if all I ever did was fly over Newark, I wouldn't think it was anything other than just absolutely beautiful to look at. From 30,000 feet is one thing, but from 3 feet is something else. Perspective dramatically changes what you see. I think this is a reminder that the secret to joy, according to Paul, is having a God-sized perspective. You can see joy if you can see the way God sees. Here's what I mean. Because it's more than just a 30. I think if we're just like, well, if you just take a 30,000 foot view, that's how God sees things. And therefore, we just sort of sugarcoat the world and all of its problems because we just sort of take a step back and be like, well, you know, it's all good. It's all working out and everything's going to be fine. And you sort of ignore the suffering that people are going through. And I don't think that's it either. I don't think that's a God-sized perspective either. Let's get back to Paul. This is what he says in chapter 2 as he starts talking about Jesus. He says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. In other words, Jesus didn't just see us, God didn't just see us in our condition from a 30,000-foot view. Although when we look at the 30,000-foot view, we could see the order and we could see the beauty that only God can see because we don't usually have that perspective. But it's not like God's also ignoring the 3-foot perspective either. In fact, he decided to work with the human condition from the ground up, from being right in the midst of it. God works from 3 feet and 30,000 feet at the same time. A God-sized perspective is not about ignoring the human condition, but redeeming it. So it's kind of like if you imagine using Google Earth. You ever use that? It's such a cool piece of software. Google Earth is sort of like GPS on steroids, where you can, it starts with like the whole Earth, and you can type in a location, and it will zoom in all the way to your house and zoom out. It's absolutely amazing, all satellite imagery, photography. So let's imagine there's a spiritual version of this, and it's all about perspective. So we start with the whole Earth, and let's say we type in our address and we zoom in. Our address is sort of like, you know, us, our physical and spiritual location on the planet. It focuses on our suffering, and that's what we see, the 3-foot view, right? The suffering, the pain, the challenges that we have in this life. Now let's say you zoom out a little bit and you see the human condition as a whole. You see that it is just so completely broken by sin. I mean, my goodness, just turn on the news and I don't need to convince you that the human condition is one of brokenness, of sin, of pain, of problems, of heartache, of people living anti-God, away from God, in the other direction as God, and causing so much hurt. Then you zoom out again and you could see the whole world that's actually broken. Scripture says that it's awaiting redemption, that the whole earth has been tainted by sin that has entered into it. And it waits for that day of perfection. If we stop there, we might look at everything and be like, oh my gosh, we're in real trouble, right? But if you zoom out one more time, and if you could zoom out enough to see God, and see what he did in Jesus Christ. That is a great big punctuation of hope. In other words, things look bad, but there's something on the other side, something above it all, that is transforming it, redeeming it for good. And then when you zoom back in from the love of God, you zoom back in, you don't just see the world and its suffering. You see John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he sent his only son. You see God's love working to restore the world. And you zoom in again, and you don't just see the human condition that's separated from God. You see salvation by grace through faith that Jesus offers by what he did on the cross. Again, the hope ratchets up. And you zoom in one more time to us. And what do you get? You get joy because God chose to save me. God chose to save me. And I'm going to live every day as if I'm on house money. Like I didn't deserve any of it and I get it. And so I live with joy even in the midst of the circumstance. I think having God-sized perspective is about allowing God to transform our human perspective. What's the secret? What's the secret to having a more joyful faith? It's by allowing God to transform us. Because when he transforms us, we can see both. We know that God has a plan and a purpose, and things are working out the way that God has planned and will one day win, right? One day be redeemed. But at the same time, God doesn't ignore our personal suffering. He calls us to get in the midst of suffering and to offer hope and peace, to offer the gospel to a hurting and dying world. When God transforms our perspective, we see joy in a different way. So maybe our motto, or a better motto, might be something like, every day I follow Jesus is a good day. Because even when I'm suffering, the goodness of God is working through me for the redemption of the world. Okay, well, maybe that doesn't have the same ring to it that you could put on a bumper sticker, but I think it's absolutely true. What does this look like for you and for me in our lives? What does it look like to have a more joyful faith? It looks like allowing God to transform us so we can see things the way he sees things, like Paul did. What did Paul see? He saw God's purposes aligning even in the midst of his suffering. And he also saw that Jesus was the suffering one, the one who suffered on our behalf so that we may have joy and hope and faith. I don't know what that looks like for you in your life this week. So I'm going to ask you, what is something, what's an area of your life where you feel like you just need a more joyful faith? You need a different perspective because the perspective you're in is a little bit stuck. You're seeing the flat ground when God has a beautiful masterpiece for you to see. If only you would have the right perspective. May God bless you and me as this week we seek a more joyful faith.